You are listening to the Horse Radio Network, part of the Equine Network family.
Welcome to this episode of the Business of Practice podcast, where we focus on the business and human sides of equine veterinary medicine. In this episode, we're going to talk with Dr. Rachel Liepman about her experience with creating a brand identity as she started her own practice this year. I'm your host, Dr. Amy Grice, business consultant and former equine practice owner. The Business of Practice podcast is brought to you in 2025 by Care Credit. Dr. Rachel Liepman grew up on the East Coast and in the Midwest, riding as a junior hunter-jumper rider in competitions across the Midwest and Florida. Her early exposure to the sport fostered a lifelong passion for horses, and she continues to be an avid equestrian, riding her jumper mare regularly today. Dr. Liepman attended Michigan State University for veterinary school, after which she completed an equine internship at B.W. Furlong and Associates in New Jersey, followed by a residency at the Ohio State University, earning a master's degree and becoming a diplomat of the American College of Veterinary Internal Medicine. After working as an internist in a private practice hospital setting for nearly a decade, she decided to form her own practice. Her brand identity is illustrated by her tagline, "Where compassion meets quality," reflecting her belief that exceptional veterinary care combines both skill and empathy. One of her other passions is educating and supporting the next generation of veterinarians. She has mentored many young veterinarians during her career and continues to do so through programs such as Decade One and Starting Gate, programs that support and educate early career equine veterinarians. She served on the AAEP Commission for Equine Veterinary Sustainability's Internship Subcommittee and currently serves on the Early Career Subcommittee. When she isn't working, Dr. Liepman enjoys hanging out with her husband, their two children, and their perfect dog, or riding her beautiful mare. Welcome, Dr. Liepman.
Thank you so much for having me.
Building a brand identity is one of the most important steps of creating a successful practice. What steps did you take to figure out who you wanted your practice to be?
So I think my brand identity was in my brain for a while as I was working at other places and kind of trying to navigate my way in figuring out what it was that I loved so much about my career and what I did every day. And so when I departed from the first practice where I was working, I had a lot of time to think and kind of started to create my ideal brand, what it would look like, what it would sound like, and started to ask myself questions like, what is my why? And that's a really tough question. It takes a lot of thinking. So it was a lot of staring up at the ceiling at night, thinking about why do I do this? What brings me joy about my career? And what are the things that I really value? And so I actually wrote those things down and I compiled a list and sort of just tried to pick out my top values. And I felt like things that sort of set me apart as a practitioner were that I really care about the horse in a way that I can relate with my clients because I actually am a rider as well. And unfortunately, a lot of us lose that when we become practitioners. I still am very involved in riding and being with my horse. And that piece of it is a really big part of my life. So the empathy piece, having been through a lot of stuff with my own personal horse. And then also just, I've always strived to keep current on what's going on in veterinary medicine in our field and do really quality, high-end, advanced diagnostic care. And I feel like those two words, compassion and quality, really wrap it up the best. So, you know, the figuring that out was probably the toughest part. And once I had that, then making the logo was just fun. And so I just got to use my creative juices to pump out that logo. And I actually, I'm going to pitch for, logo tournament, which is how I created it. And that's an online platform where you can actually, put your business idea out there and your favorite colors, what you want colors to be, and, what components you want, you know, pictured on your logo. And then a bunch of crowdsourcing is done among graphic designers and people that do it as a hobby. And then they come together and you get to go through this process. It's like a 3 or 4 step process where you narrow down what you want and you finally pick a winner. It's super fun. And it's cool to see people's creativity come out. And it's not that expensive.
What was the name of the group that you used? Because there's several of them.
I just went through Logo Tournament.
Logo Tournament. Okay.
Yeah.
Because there's 99 designs. There's a bunch of them. So Logo Tournament. Yeah. Cool.
Yep. Logo Tournament. And you basically put up a little pot of money at the beginning, and it's, you can choose between different levels of designers you want to use. And then at the end, whoever wins gets the pot of money, and it's super fun. Like I said, I think it really like squeezes that creative side of your brain. And it was tough to choose. I had like 250 or something submissions for logos. So it was a lot to weed through.
Oh my goodness. I sometimes get decision paralysis. So I'm glad you didn't.
You had a lot of help from other people.
Yeah. Too much choice is sometimes bad for me. Yeah.
The Business of Practice podcast is brought to you by Care Credit. Care Credit keeps equine veterinarians at the heart of care by providing horse owners with simple, budget-friendly financing options. By helping to bridge the gap between costs and care, Care Credit supports healthy financial relationships between veterinarians and their clients. Clients have a flexible way to pay over time for all types of care, and practices get paid in 2 business days. It's a payment experience everyone can feel good about.
And along with that, you've got a great tagline, where compassion meets quality. So are you finding that your clients are valuing those same things, so that you're attracting who you are? How important has this been for your success, having the people that want what you are?
I think it's important. You put it out there into the universe, and then it's sort of, you know, what they say, that you attract your tribe. So the people that keep coming back are those people that maybe met me 8 years ago. I've been in this area a while. So I've interfaced with a lot of different people in different scenarios, sometimes in emergency situations, sometimes in other situations. So people remember me mostly because they remember how I made them feel. And that is my goal. You know, they felt that their horse was important, and that they were important, and their concerns were important, and that they were heard. And I think that there are people that kind of want, there are lots of different people out there. And, you know, there are people that want the really quick, all business point and inject my horse. And that's what I want. I don't want a big drawn out. I don't necessarily want to do the diagnostic tests. I just want you to come out and do what I need and then leave. And then there are people that fall more into my category, where they actually really want to dig in and figure out what the problem is, so they can make the best decisions for treatments going forward. And whether that is, you know, a horse with performance concerns and they need, you know, a respiratory workup, or it's a horse that's sick, you know, there's going to be a gamut of different things. And so I think putting that forward lets everybody know what I'm there for. And whether they're new clients or returning clients, they sort of are primed to know that I'm showing up, and I'm not going to just be, you know, doing the surface work that I'm probably going to dig. And if they're not interested in that, that will, you know, we'll figure that out quickly. And it's been really great to see how, you know, the clientele that I'm generating has responded. And most of them are really grateful to have that kind of comprehensive care and somebody that will take the time to dig into it and do it with them, beside them. They feel like we're part of the same team.
Right. So the experience they're getting is consistent, and they, after that experience, they're like, that's what I want. That's what I want again. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think a lot of vets are concerned, I mean, we all are, about cost and, you know, how that's perceived by clientele. And sometimes we laugh because we feel like we just make these things up sometimes. Like, how do we determine what things cost? Certainly there's ways that we can, and Amy's so great at teaching us that. But, you know, I think that there, one thing that you have to remember when creating your identity out in the marketplace is, do you want to be known as the cheapest, or do you want to be known as the best? And being known as the cheapest is valuable to some people. And being known as the best is also valuable to some people. So I think like what I've found is people don't choose me because I'm the cheapest. I'm also not the most expensive. They choose me because they want the services that I offer. So that is the most important thing in my mind.
Yeah, it makes it a lot easier to satisfy them and to feel satisfied yourself that you've done a good job when they come to you because you offer what they want. I mean, everybody's happy. So I got to know, what were the most fun things about starting your own practice? I know there's some unfun things, but what were the most fun things?
I think the most fun things were, number one, the logo. Like, the logo and the name were super fun just because it was something I had dreamed up. And then when it all came together, it just felt like real, you know? And I also really serendipitously got a truck with a box already in it. And it was an older truck and it looked kind of dented and sad. And I designed with a local person a wrap for my truck. And seeing that, it like made the truck, we were joking that the truck, because the truck came from a different part of Arizona, and we were joking, the person that I bought it from, that she got Botox and a facelift because she got all sorts of work done. And she moved to Scottsdale and she got Botox and a facelift. So that was pretty funny. So my older truck looks really nice with this wrap, and I get so many comments. It's like a driving billboard, which is super fun. And I get lots of compliments on it. I think the other fun things were just being able to see like that it could work. I had so much doubt and trepidation about launching on my own, and so many people that sort of put a bad taste in my mouth about it. And I just persisted and was like, you know, I think this is going to be the best thing for me at this point in my career. And seeing it actually working and seeing the numbers line up and being able to pay my bills and still have some left over and feeling like I'm accomplishing that is also really cool. It just feels like when you know that you have a skill set you can just take out and you don't really need that much, especially as an internist, it's not the same as, you know, being a surgeon, needing a surgical suite, needing all the instruments, you know, you really don't need that much. Mostly what you need is your brain and some supplies. And I was able to do that. And that's really cool to see. I think the last thing is just the reception from the clients has been really positive. They're super happy to still have me in the area as an option. And they've just been extremely supportive of, you know, what it is that I'm doing, which is great.
Yeah. When you were talking about how you had trepidation, I was thinking, yeah, there you were about to jump off the cliff and form your own practice. And instead of falling off the cliff on the sharp rocks, you flew away and you're still flying. It's just such a great way to think about it. It's just cool. Because starting a practice is scary, right? And it's the unknown. So when you were navigating all that uncertainty, like what were the things that you did to ground yourself? And when, if you think about others that are considering it, what advice would you give them?
That's a great question. Well, number one, I had Dr. Amy Grice behind me, which is very valuable.
Hitting you with a cudgel?
Yeah. I think just the preparation of being a part of Decade One in different ways over the years has helped me a lot. Seeing others transform in their journeys also helped me to just inspire me that if they can do it, I can do it. And I think the biggest thing was just, having that circle of people that you could bounce things off of. So, I had different stages. I had the before stage, the during stage, and then the still kind of after / still during phase. And, I just interface with people that are doing similar things to me. So there are several people out there in the US doing this. A couple that come to mind, Dr. Piper Norton and Dr. Phoebe Smith, two of my friends and colleagues that, I knew I could call and already have relationships with them. They're both internists. They're doing different things in their practices, both ambulatory. And they both love what they're doing and they're doing it well, and they have great reputations in the stratosphere. So I feel like they helped me a ton, just being able to talk to them and say, how did you do this? Or what did you do about this? And what equipment do you think I really need to start out? And all of that stuff that you really need somebody to ask. And they're doing what I wanted to do. So I was looking up to them, and they were always very generous with their advice. So not saying to flood their inboxes, but just find yourself people that are like-minded and doing what it is that you want to be doing and connecting with them. People love to help. It's dopamine inducing more so than scrolling social media. So if you give them an opportunity to help, it usually isn't as much of a burden as you think it will be. It's a really joyful thing.
Yeah, you're giving them a gift. Yeah, that they can help you.
Absolutely. Yeah. So that, and I have been feeling like the way that I've been able to work with people that I had worked with before in the industry, like reps that sell equipment, and just asking them, hey, this is what I'm looking for. How can you help me? Maybe I can't get the top of the line, but is there a demo unit, or is there, something that is like it that would be good to start out? And I mean, it's just been so much more than I could have ever dreamed that it would be in terms of just making it totally doable. So I think the biggest thing is just try not to talk yourself out of it right away. Try not to listen to the people that are going to tell you that, your life is going to be over and you're not going to be able to, it's going to be really hard financially and all these things. If you do it right, it'll be fine. And I think letting go of some of that worry and surrendering a little bit just to the process really helped me.
That's really good advice, for sure. Yeah. Is there anything else you'd like to share with our listeners today?
I don't think so. I really hope that people feel like if they have questions about this or they think I can help in some way, that they would reach out. I'm always happy to chat. I won't say that I'm an expert. I'm still really early in my journey, but I know some good resources. I know smart people to call and talk to you about this stuff. So, yeah, and I appreciate you having me on today.
Well, I appreciate you being on. Thank you so much. for joining us today, because this is the kind of information that really helps people that are, you know, considering or starting their own practice. Thank you all of you who are listening and joining us for the Business of Practice podcast today. And a big thanks to our sponsor, Care Credit, and to all my listeners out there. If you want to give a gift to Dr. Liebman, call her and ask for her advice. And be brave. Embrace change.